Queen of Mercy and of Love, O Maria. Triumph, O ye cherubim, sing with us, ye seraphim. Heaven and earth resound the hymn. Salve, salve, salve Regina. Our life, our sweetness here below, sorrow and in woe,
O Maria.
Triumph, O ye cherubim, sing with us, ye seraphim. Heaven and earth resound the hymn. Salve, salve, cause of joy to all below,
O Maria,
the spring through which all graces flow.
Salve Regina. Good morning. My name is Katharina Vidi, and this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. Today is a special show because Our Lady of Fatima, we're celebrating today 100 years since she first appeared in Portugal to three shepherd children. And today we have Severio Grosso, guest speaker. Welcome, and thank you so much. You're always amazing and such a blessing with your knowledge of the Blessed Mother and just great example. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And also his son, Anthony. Welcome, and thank you so much.
Welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, awesome. So today our call-in number is 631-888-8811, and our text-in number is 516-784-6081. If you want to comment or have any questions about today's show, please feel free. We'd love to hear from you. So, all right, so today is May 13th. And yeah, it's a great day. And I was just, before the song a little bit came on, Be Not Afraid, and that was interesting because you mentioned to me that those are the first words of St. John Paul II when he became Pope.
Yeah.
And Our Lady of Fatima too, when she came to the three shepherd children.
Yeah.
Our Lady, she said, be not afraid, I've come from heaven,
right,
like you mentioned to me. And that's just so interesting how we forget, like, I guess, those small details and how they're really important and, you know, to help us that.
Oh, yeah. I love, you know, it's interesting that the song came on because that's the, you know, when we started talking about this idea of being not afraid. And when I look at the story of Fatima, one of the things you see so often is just the fear that people had, the worry that people had, and the suffering that people had. And Our Lady's message throughout all the apparitions and even throughout some of the other apparitions have always been this idea of don't be afraid. Like, come to your mom. She will take care of it. And I love the idea that that was, you know, those were the first words that Pope John Paul II said, or Saint Pope John Paul II said, at the beginning of his pontificate, and his connection to Our Lady, and even more special, his connection to Our Lady of Fatima, with his assassination attempt on that same exact day, this day, you know, on this same exact day today, in 1981. And it's beautiful to see the connection and really living out this idea of, you know, we go through struggles, but don't be afraid. You know, we have help from up in heaven, and then we can always turn to it no matter what. So, and I love the idea of Our Lady of Fatima, especially driving today. You know, it was a pretty nasty, rainy day out there.
Yeah.
And I could only think of, you know, the miracle of the sun that happened was just on a day like this, nasty and rainy. So I could think of all those pilgrims out in Fatima today as they canonize two of the children who are to be saints. And you know how very similar today is, both weather-wise as well as just situation of the world-wise, to how it was 100 years ago in Fatima.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in our own life, even though there's trials and turmoil around us, we can have that miracle of the sun inside of us and have Jesus inside of us. I think that's great message. And can you mention again Saint John Paul II, what exactly happened to him? I know just for all of us, so we're reminded again how his assassination attempt and what happened after.
Sure.
Can you mention that?
Sure. Saint John Paul II's, I mean, he's amazing as a pope, but he's just also amazing as a man, and his devotion to Our Lady. He also had a huge devotion the idea of mercy, so divine mercy. One of the first things I had read about him was that when Sister Faustina had the divine mercy visions, and they started sharing the divine mercy, the translations got to Rome in such a way that it wasn't approved, and it went dormant for so many years. It was actually not approved for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, he was then Bishop of Krakow. He said, wait, I think they got it wrong. What the message here is so much deeper and so much better, and just the translation the Vatican has is wrong. So he went and he did all this research on his own and was able to present it and have the divine mercy reinstated. And then 6 months later, he became pope. And his connection to divine mercy, he writes in one of his first encyclicals called Rich in Mercy. He says mercy springs from Our Lady. And she stood at the foot of the cross watching her son suffer, and she felt, she pours out, as Jesus pours out his mercy, she's there to help us receive it. She didn't run like the other disciples did. She stood there. So when we go to Mary, she always takes us to her son and always takes us to divine mercy. And then you would see, you know, this idea of divine mercy play out throughout his whole pontificate, in, you know, in parallel with his devotion to our Blessed Mother. And then it was May 13th, you know, 1981, and he was doing what he normally does. He was out in at a general audience, and an assassin came and shot him. And when the assassin came and shot him, and you read different accounts of it, but one of the most prominent aspects was he just kept calling out for Mary. He kept calling, you know, my mother. And he was taken to the hospital, and amazingly, the bullet, even though he was shot at close range, went in, and it almost ricocheted throughout his body, but in a way that it didn't hit any vital organs, and he was able to recover from it. And the shrine in Washington has a great plaque, and it's his words where he says, "One hand fired the gun, and another hand guided the bullet."
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that the proof of his survival was his devotion to Our Lady, and that on her special feast day of Fatima, of May 13th, even though the assassin was trying to kill the Pope, she guided him and watched him, and he came to forgive the assassin. And a year later, he gave probably one of the most beautiful homilies, and it's available on the Vatican website, over in Portugal. He went and he took the bullet that was inside of him, and he actually placed it in the crown of the statue at Our Lady of Fatima. And he gave this amazing homily on just the idea of, you know, Mary's motherly guidance and her being this sign for us. And I think a lot of people today's day and age no different. We're always looking for signs. And that's the beauty of the miracle of the sun and Fatima, is that Mary came, but she also had a sign and a message. And if you live it out, you can see that message change. But the Pope's story, and just the way, you know, the bullet went through him in a way that, you know, a millimeter in any other direction, it would have, you know, he wouldn't have made it to the hospital, and he survived. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's so amazing in itself, and also how the bullet perfectly fit inside of the crown of gold that I believe Portuguese women had made to present to Our Lady as a gift. I don't remember exactly, but like in Thanksgiving for their sons who were brought home from the war, I think, and it fit perfectly. So it's just you hear these things, and it has to be from above, you know.
Oh, yeah.
the blessings. And yeah, you mentioned signs and messages. So what did Our Lady give to us? What are her messages when she came 100 years ago to those three children?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's her message back then is the same as the message we all kind of need to hear today. It's repent, believe in the gospel, and change your life, and pray for others. Most importantly, pray for yourselves and pray for others, and pray for the conversion of souls. She appeared to, you know, unwise little children, as is kind of Mary's thing. You know, she appears to not to the educated, but to the simple, because those are the ones who listen. I always like to remind myself that it's the simple ones who hear, because they're not stuck in their head with overanalyzing everything. They trust. So that, you know,
that
she
sounds like me. I'm yeah. like, oh no, is Mary gonna come to me? but
you know,
yeah,
it's. The so first an angel appears to the three little children, and it actually appeared in 1916, and the angel appears to them, to the three of them, mm-hmm. and basically comes three different times, and each time just tells them, you know, pray, repent, you know, cry out to Jesus and Mary, that they're listening, they listen for you, their hearts, you know, adore the fact that you call out to them, and then the angel basically told them, pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray for the world that needs it, and pray for the conversion. And the first message is really almost like a preparation for the Blessed Mother to show up on May 13th in 1917.
So they don't freak out.
Exactly.
They've kind of had like, somebody come already, yeah. you know.
Well, it's interesting, too, even in studying it. And, you know, obviously you know me and the way I like to look at parallels in history. As an engineer, there's always this desire for me to do my own research around mm-hmm. this stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the way Fatima even plays out, an angel shows up first and gives guidance before the actual event happens. We see that so often in the Bible. At the Annunciation, an angel shows up before the actual
the Holy Spirit
arrives. Mm-hmm. Joseph receives angels' messages in a dream, right? We always get this idea of like an angel coming, look at some of the gospel accounts of Easter Sunday. There's an angel there. And there's this idea that the angels are kind of preparing us. So then, you know, the first apparition happens May 13th, 1917. The little children, it's cute reading their stories, and, you know, there's so many great books out there. My favorite's the one that you have here, the True Story of Fatima. And it has the complete account, and complete in the sense of interviews and conversations with their parents.
It's by John DeMarchi, mm-hmm. IMC.
And it's available, there's actually, it's available electronically, too, on their website,
great.
Fatima.org.
Mm-hmm. And you see pictures as well. It's great.
Yeah, they give a great history of everything, and firsthand witness accounts as well. So I love when I read that, one of the beautiful things is the children were devoted to prayer. So they would work. I mean, they were shepherd children, so they had to walk a long distance, tending to their sheep and taking care of them. But they would stop. They would have lunch. They would do the rosary. And then they would interact for a little bit together, and then they would go back to work. And you keep hearing this idea of they were praying the rosary. And then one day they were praying the rosary, and all of a sudden it looked like a storm was coming. They saw a big, bright flash of light. They heard thunder, but they looked around. It was clear skies, beautiful day out. So they got nervous, and they started heading down the hill, and then all of a sudden it happened again, and they turn over, and they see Our Lady. And the first words out of her mouth was, "Fear not, I won't harm you, I'm from heaven." And then, I love this idea, but Lucia, the little one, turns to her and says, "Well, what do you want from us?" I mean, it's the innocence of a child, this idea of...
like, why are you here?
Okay, this is confusing, now what? And she just says, "I, you know, come here for the next 6 months, same day, same hour, and I'll tell you later who I am and what I want, but I'll keep returning here." And so the little girls, it was cute, they asked, "Well, will we go to heaven?" And Our Lady says, "Well, yes, you will." And she said, "Well, what about Jacinta, the other little girl?" She said, "Yes." She goes, "Well, what about Francisco, the other boy?" She goes, "Well, yes, but he's got to pray a lot of rosaries." So I always find that amusing, because it's, you know, Francisco probably was a typical little boy. You know, he definitely needed to say a little bit more. So I associate with him. And then she just left them the message of, you know, pray the rosary every day. And you read these beautiful interactions between the innocent children and Our Lady, where they say, "Well, if you're in heaven, you know, is this person there? Is that person there?" "Yes, yes." "Well,
I want to be there too."
"I want to be there too." And there's this one great part where she asks about her friend, and she says, "Oh, is my friend who recently passed away, is she in heaven?" And Our Lady says, "No, she's in purgatory right now." And so she starts to well up with tears, thinking like, "Oh, my friend's not in heaven." And Our Lady says to her, "Well, if you want to offer yourself and your sufferings up for your friend, then that can help not only with the conversion of sinners, but help your friend in purgatory." And of course, the little girl says, "Well, yeah, I want my friend to be in heaven." And she said, "Well, if you do that, you're going to suffer a great deal, but it's okay. The grace of God will always be there for you." And I just love reading that story, and all the apparitional stories, just because you could see the children's desires to help those in need. And even though they know they have to deal with suffering, Our Lady tells them, again, "Be not afraid. It's okay. We'll take care of it." And, you know, Our Lady tells them to pray the rosary for the end of the war and to bring peace to the world. This was all during World War I. And then the children are kind of dumbfounded. And then a month later, they show up again. Now, by now, they had told a few people about what was happening. Most people didn't believe it. That was a challenging part, you think, for the children and for the families. Most of them thought, these kids don't know anything.
Maybe they're just, like, imagining, or...
Exactly.
Like, the sun got to them, yeah. Out, you know, in the
first
fields.
First they see an angel, now they're seeing Our Lady. What is this? Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So they show up the second month, now in June,
mm-hmm.
And you read the stories, and the kids were actually, I don't want to say ostracized, but they were being picked on, the family was being picked on, and they felt abandoned and alone because they had this wonderful experience, but no one wanted to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So they show up the second month, and Our Lady then teaches them the Fatima prayer. "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy." So Our Lady teaches them that, and then tells them, "Don't worry, I know you're suffering, but I'll be here for you." Then you know, she leaves again. Now, a couple of people were there to witness it. They didn't see any signs, but they heard the buzz, you know, a buzz. They said it sounded almost like bees, but they saw the change within the children during the second apparition. Now, a month passes. These children are excited, waiting, but still suffering because they have people that don't want to hear them. And the third month comes, and by now one of the people in the town and the priests had convinced the mothers of the children that this was actually the work of the evil one. So now there was a little bit more fear, and the kids started to wonder, what are they seeing? So they actually go, they show up in July, and Our Lady once again comes to them, continue to pray the rosary, continue to pray. And one of the little girls asks, Lucia asks, can you perform a miracle, or can you do something and kind of show it so people will leave us alone and know that this is real? And she says, don't worry, you know, come back and by October I'll do something. And she then tells him, you really need to pray and to sacrifice. And she does something at that moment. So the first two apparitions, she opens up her hands and engulfs them with light, and they just feel this beautiful joy of God, and they felt the presence of God within them. At the third apparition, she actually opens up her hands and the ground opens up before them, and they have a vision of hell. This was became the first secret of Fatima. And they see this horrible, horrible vision of the soul suffering in hell, all the sinners and all the pain that they were going through. And the impact left them shaken, but they were told they couldn't share it. So I could only imagine, you know, these poor little children, the pain of not only seeing that and how dangerous it must have been as far as an image in their head, but also this idea of, now we can't tell anybody. Like, we want to tell people because this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it was challenging. And then, the fourth month in August came really quickly, and the magistrate who had run that town now saw the danger of people started converting and people started listening to the children. It became a little bit more serious. People were going there during the apparitions and they were starting to witness some things, like the way the trees would move, the way the light would reflect off the children, the way that it would reflect off of themselves, and they started knowing something. So this magistrate decided, you know what, I got to put an end to this, because the more the church rises, the less power, political power, he will have. So he concocts this great idea, and he actually captures the kids. He invites them over, and as they're going down the stairs, he brings his cart up, and he tricks the kids to get into the horse cart without their parents, without the father, and then takes off. And he brings them back, and he basically captured them. And he says, all right, tomorrow's August 13th. I'm going to keep you here until you tell me what Our Lady's saying to you. Tell me all these secrets. Mm-hmm. But you're not leaving here. So
it's really scary.
I mean, it's, you think about what somebody does just to maintain their own power, and his own, to avoid embarrassment from his friends. So he locks them away and they spend the night there. The next day, or that day, the apparition, people gather for it. Now, he also started spreading a rumor that because the children wouldn't be there, the devil would open up the earth and anyone who was there witnessing this apparition would be drawn down into hell. So he was trying to make sure no one went. And he was not very good at it.
It's funny now, but that's kind of scary, I guess, what was going on.
Yeah. So the people showed up and they noticed the change, the way the leaves would change and the way the light would be reflecting, but it was brief and it was momentarily, and they realized Our Lady came and the children weren't here. And so they said, well, she must be disappointed. And then now all of a sudden they got upset with the magistrate for what he was doing. Meanwhile, the children were in a jail cell. And what the magistrate tried to do is, first he brought a woman and an old lady in to kind of like be grandmotherly and try to be cunning in getting their answers and the secrets out of them. They didn't relent. So then he moved on to the next thing. He made promises. Again, they didn't relent. And then finally he made threats. And he said, all right, I'm going to get oil and I'm going to boil all of you in it. and he puts them in this jail. And it's a beautiful story in the book of while they were there, all these hardened criminals that were there saw these little children and the bravery and the courage that they had for their faith, and were trying to cheer them up. Some of them were, you know, some of them, of course, were saying, "Hey, listen, just tell your secret and you don't have to suffer." But the children were actually getting these men to pray the rosary with them. And then, you know, the guard comes and one by one takes them into the room where they question them. And none of the children say anything. And he threatens each of them with this idea of, okay, you're going to be boiled in oil, guard, take them away. And then he would take them into another room. But the other children didn't know that. So Francisco thinks his sister went and got boiled alive. So he walks into that room thinking, you know, the magistrate says, hey, your sister's already been burnt alive. So tell me your secret so you could save yourself. And he doesn't. And the same thing with Lucia. So it was beautiful, this idea of, you know, the courage that they had. And the magistrate eventually realized he had no shot, so he just let them go. He brings them back to the church and lets them go.
I want to highlight on that for a little bit,
because
I'm just thinking, if that was us, you know, like, what a great example. There were little children, like less than 10 years old, two of them. So it makes you think, with God's grace, to be like that, even though we're adults or teens or even children, to have that example, to be brave with God's grace. And
they were courageous. I mean, I think now, in today's day and age, especially with, you know, Christian persecution around the world, with some of the, what people going through over in the Middle East, I mean, would I be that brave? I mean, this was a child who thought that his sister was just boiled in oil and he was next. And he still remained true to his faith. And he didn't waver. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, it's beautiful, the simplicity and the trust that these children had in the message of Our Lady and in, you know, in God. And it's really remarkable how they responded to such a call. And I wonder, you know, I know for myself, I don't know if I'd have that same courage. I'd be honest, it's challenging. The message there is also just as beautiful. And Our Lady was great. She told them she would visit them. And they weren't there on the 13th, but then the following weekend after Mass, she once again appears to them. And she says something which is beautiful. She says, you know, pray a great deal. Pray for sinners. And there are the souls that go to hell because they don't have people to pray for them. And that was her message, really, for the August message and the September message, the fifth apparition. This idea of keep praying, say the rosary, but pray for those people who are suffering. Pray for the sinners and pray for those souls already in hell because they're suffering and they have no one to pray for them. And it was really, you know, the children were so, I guess, shocked with this idea of hell and this idea of needing to pray for others. You read this within the some of the readings, they actually would sacrifice themselves so they wouldn't eat lunch, or they would pray, you know, they would pray on their knees and they would do things. There's a story that they would take like the thick heavy rope and they would wrap it around themselves so they would never be comfortable. And it's funny, in the fifth apparition, Our Lady, just as a typical mother does, she says, you know, God's pleased with your sacrifices, but don't sleep with the rope. It's okay to wear it during the day, but don't sleep with it. Even as a mother, she sees that these children are trying to save souls with their suffering and their sacrifices. But, you know, as a mother, she goes, "All right, I don't want to see you that much in pain."
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. So, and then, you know, the sixth apparition comes, and you know, it's October 13th, 1917, a day like today where it's really nasty, really rainy out there, and thousands of people showed up for it. And newspapers were there. Actually, the newspapers being there, they were there to mock it because there were so many unbelievers that thought this was a hoax, that they thought it was just, you know, just some way the church was trying to convince people to come back to the church. But they showed up specifically to prove everyone wrong and to say, haha, you know, you were wrong, this was all fake. But their accounts and all the testimony from the different secular newspapers is actually where most of the history of Fatima and the witness and the testimony come from for Fatima. And that's where we get you know, all the pictures really are from the newspapers. There's not too many other pictures out there. And on that day, Our Lady did as she promised. She appeared to the children, and in her fourth and fifth apparition, she shared with them that Saint Joseph would be there with the child Jesus, she would be there as Our Lady of the Rosary, that Jesus himself would come to bless the world, and she would also be there as Our Lady of Sorrows in the purple robes, and as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So all these things, all these children witness all these beautiful visions. And while that was happening, the sun started doing some crazy things within the sky, almost unscientific. Like it seems impossible, but it began to dance in the sky and move, and you know, bounce around. And the way the light was reflecting off of different people, different colors, a lot of the eyewitness accounts said they knew something was different because they were all able to actually look at the sky and look at the sun without their eyes hurting. And there were a lot of great testimonies of scientists who said, you know, they were there, and had they not been there, they would not have believed it. But seeing it was, you know, was proof in itself. And the sun looked as if it was going to come down and crash into them, and then just it stopped and went back in its place. And when the people got up, and this is one of those other little beautiful details, when the people got up, it had been raining. They had been covered in mud. They were completely clean. They were completely dry. There was no mud on them. So it was almost this little parting gift from Our Lady of taking care of them. And even though that was the last day of the apparitions, Our Lady continued to come to the children, the Jacinta and Francisco, who are being canonized by Pope Francis today. Mm-hmm. They died early, and Our Lady told them that they would go to heaven and Lucia would stay here, and she was told that she would have a mission, and her mission was obviously to promote Our Lady of Fatima and share the messages down through her, through a lot of her journaling and her writings. And she passed away in her 90s, and she too is now on the path to sainthood. But she remained with them the whole time, and the message of that whole time was, you know, hell does exist, but if you come to the heart of Mary, she will take you to the heart of her Son, and pray for those sinners and pray for those in need and pray the rosary every single day. And there's so much beauty in the simplicity of that. And Pope John Paul II, in his homily after his assassination attempt, he just remarked on that. He said, Mary is our mother. She doesn't like to see us suffer, just as any mother wouldn't want to see their child suffering. And if a mother was seeing their child suffer, they wouldn't just be quiet about it. They would speak up. And that's what Mary does. She doesn't come on her own accord. God sends her here specifically to share her motherly message of, you got to turn your life around. You got to change your ways. You're not going here. And here's proof. I'll show you how bad hell can be. Change your ways. And here's a simple way to do that. Just pray the rosary. Pray for sinners and pray for other people. And really, that's the whole message. It's, you know, the whole Bible is caught up in this idea of, you know, change your ways, give yourself over fully to God, and trust in his method. Be not afraid, and focus on prayer.
Yeah, I think it's a loving message too, that Our Lady doesn't mean to scare us or God as well. They just want what's best for us, yeah. And they know that this is repenting and is the true way to happiness and my love, and you'll receive all that you were made for, and that I just want the best for you, but I want you to know the reality that this exists.
Right.
And I'm sure that's what parents do, and what people, like, you don't want to be oblivious to things, but you want to help people by telling them the truth and guiding them. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's our Blessed Mother and Jesus left with a bang, the last apparition of the sun, right?
Yeah.
Left with a bang, and the dirt, they were all clean. That reminded me of Lourdes as well, when
right.
some people say that they go into the waters and then they come out dry.
Right.
Which is that I didn't know that. So that's amazing. That's incredible. And So we have Anthony here as well. I just kind of want to just change gears a little bit, and then we'll go back to Fatima. Sure. But that was amazing. Thank you, Saverio. There's a lot to think of. So Anthony, congratulations on your confirmation.
Thank you.
I know this past Wednesday you were confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Holy Spirit and your confirmation just ties in really well as well to Our Lady of Fatima, because she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and God is always with her. So, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. And now that you received your confirmation, just tell us how you feel, and a little bit about your confirmation saint, the saint that you picked, and why you picked that person.
So I chose Augustine as my confirmation name because I kind of felt like I had a connection to him, because St. Augustine, before he became a saint, he led not a bad life, but he led a very sinful, lustful life. He got a woman pregnant, and then as she was giving birth, took over the ship and then partied with his friends. And even though his mother, St. Monica, who was the one who helped him convert, was very holy, he honestly didn't really care. But then, while he was passed out drunk on his cruise ship that he took over, he had a vision of God, and he converted. And I kind of felt a connection to that, because I go to Catholic school now. I go to Kellenberg. I've been going there for 2 years. And before I went there, I hate to admit it, but I was kind of the same way. I didn't really enjoy going to church. I didn't, you know, do all the extra things. I was kind of just there to be there. Once I started going there, taking, you know, religion classes, having the Mass there, I started, you know, getting into it more, appreciating the faith. And just recently, this Tuesday, I joined the youth group at our church, and I really enjoyed that. So I felt, you know, the same thing with St. Augustine. He didn't have a good connection with God, had a conversion, and now he does. And I felt that I can relate to that.
That's beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing. That takes a lot of courage, and I appreciate it. You know,
yeah.
not everyone, we all kind of have that kind of story inside of us, but we're not we're afraid to say it. But thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. And how was the youth group for you? How did you feel? How did you enjoy it, and what happened, I guess, on Tuesday? I missed it. I wasn't there.
We read the Bible a little bit. I forgot the exact readings, but I remember the message. It was to always stay faithful to your faith, no matter what, even when other people are doubting, and even if you're doubting. So we read that. We talked about it a little bit. We questioned. We asked Father Johnny, the priest that runs it, a couple of things. He answered, and he's really just an amazing man. He knows what he's talking about. He doesn't, you know, show it off in, like, a big way. He's very humble about it, too. But just everyone there, they're nice, good people. They really care.
Oh, good.
It's interesting that the message of that reading was, no matter what other people are saying or doing, just be faithful. And that's, you know, that's the message of Fatima. That's what the beauty of the children. Maybe you're braver than I am when it comes to that.
Another interesting thing I always find about Fatima, because, you know, I study history in school. While all this is going on, it's also World War I, and during that time, there was no faith. If you had faith, most of the time, you're being persecuted for it. No one, you know, showed their faith in public. Everyone was kind of, like, hidden. And even the people that professed their faith in secret, that was still rare. So for these three kids in Portugal to, you know, do all these things to stay faithful during this time period is amazing.
Even more, because it was during that time. That reminded me of Our Lady of Medjugorje, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not approved by the church, it happened during a similar atmosphere setting,
right.
That there was a war going on, and the faith was kind of repressed. But then Our Lady came to say the same messages,
mm-hmm.
Repent. Fasting is a way of offering your sacrifices to God,
right.
So that people can convert. whatever, in whatever way you can. It doesn't have to be bread and water the whole day on Wednesday, but or Friday. It's just whatever suffering you have to give it, and just the power of prayer, the rosary, confession, and mass. She highlighted on mass as well, the receiving Jesus.
That's the more I've studied, and I've been studying the Marian doctrine for a while now, and Mary tends to show up as a mother when people are in need. And if you look back at half of the in fact almost all the apparitions that the church recognizes, the official ones, even some of the ones that are recognized not by the Vatican but by the church as far as bishops and the local providence, I mean, she showed up in Knock in Ireland during the potato famine and religious persecution for the Irish people as a way to encourage them. She showed up in La Salette to little children in a sorrowful way because she was so upset with the way the world was going at that time, and was the call again was to repentance. She showed up twice in Belgium, and again the same message was always this idea of repent. You know, God's not happy with the way things are going right now, and as a mother, she's always kind of the first person sent to guide us. And it goes all the way back to, you look at the Bible, Mary's last words were, do whatever he tells you. And she's the one who's standing at the side of the cross saying, this is my son. He's doing this for you. She shows up in Rwanda right before the genocide as this Our Lady of Sorrows, telling them to pray the sorrowful rosary to prevent the genocide. So Mary's almost like, I read this great article where, we've talked in the past, I know, about like Mary as the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. And the biblical parallels to David and the Ark of the Covenant for the Jewish people, and how Mary is the Ark of the Covenant for today, for us as our Christian people. But this article made another parallel of, God had Noah build an ark before the total destruction of the world. And if you look at the times of today, We're not always in a great place. You look at the political situation, the social situation, you look at the wars around the country and the way people are. God keeps sending his ark. In fact, there's one of the recently approved apparitions in Argentina, in St. Nicholas. Jesus was there, appears to this woman, Gladys, and says, my mother is the ark. Get aboard the ark, in a sense of, go to her. She always takes you to me. So every time Mary shows up in all these apparitions, and there's, there are a dozen approved apparitions, and then there's a lot more that are approved kind of partially in some ways, and they always speak of the same thing. Be strong in the faith, change your ways, help those around you, and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray the rosary. And the rosary's, it's one of those amazing prayers. And I've always felt like if you just pray on your own, that's one thing. It's almost like if I go to the gym and mm-hmm. I go and I know a little bit about how to work out, I can go, and it's better than sitting home on my couch mm-hmm. and I can get a little bit better in shape. But if I go to a trainer who knows everything because they know it closely and they help me, I'm going to see results greater. And the rosary is kind of the same way. Like, I can pray on my own. It's better, praying on my own is better than sitting on my couch. But if I sit and I pray the rosary every single day, by the end of the week, I've gone through the highs, the lows, the glories, the joys, the sorrows of the life of Christ with being beside and praying alongside his mother, who knows him way better than any of us will ever, because she raised him. She bore him and she raised him. So I always look at it like Mary's always telling us to pray, and it's not praying to her. It's not praying in a way that magnifies her. She's always saying, pray to my son. And when we pray the rosary, we're praying it with her. And, you listen to the line of it, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And we're praying with the Fatima prayer, we're praying for others who need it. And I don't think there's anything better we can do for someone else. We can help. We can offer money, we can offer guidance, but I really think praying for someone, for their conversion, for their betterment, that's the best gift we can ever offer someone. So, and that's what it's, as a father, it's beautiful to see, my son who don't get me wrong, he was nothing like St. Augustine. So maybe, you know, maybe a little argumentative, but I think that's probably as you know, as bad as he was. But
we always have that about ourselves, right? Yeah.
But you know, to see his maturity now, especially as, you know, he's growing in his faith and growing, and my other son as well, you know, growing in their faith, being drawn closer to God. I mean, that's the best gift. I mean, I'd love to see my children successful and popular and you know, well off financially. But you know, Our Lady said it to, you know, one of the children in the apparitions. We worry so much about our physical state, our body. You know, all these people kept asking the children, hey, can you pray for my friend who's sick? And Our Lady says, you worry too much about the body. Worry about the soul. So, I mean, if we can help others, great. But if we can truly help them by taking care of their souls, that's the message of Fatima. Like, pray for the world that needs it, and especially for those who need to reconnect with God and get a better relationship.
That's true. Our lives are just so short, and sometimes it's hard to think of it like that, but it's true. We, with God's grace and our Blessed Mother, to keep our eyes on eternity and yeah, our life with God, and to receive all His love. And we all want to be in heaven as a happy family. So you're right, that is the greatest gift, to see your children and grandchildren and just everyone all together. Yeah. So
One other thing I always, when we pray for others, I think one of the things we also should always keep in mind and try to do is pray for our priests, pray for particularly those seminarians who are studying and being courageous and giving their lives to God, fully consecrating their lives and giving it 100% to Him, to serve Him and serve His mission. Pray for those priests who are serving today, that they can continue to be, you know, great shepherds and guide, you know, to see, you know, we're fortunate. We know a lot of priests, and we're friends with a lot of priests and seminarians, and it's just been an integral part of our lives to be surrounded by such amazing men, and even we know some religious sisters as well, and to see their impact on our youth today, it's important that they also feel that, so we can pray for them. And lastly, and this, I came across this recently, this idea of, my mother-in-law had given me this little booklet of praying for the souls of the priests in purgatory, because so often we're touched by a priest and we're moved to do things, and they're impactful to our lives, and you know, as their lives go, they're moved to another parish, and you know, maybe we stay in touch, but there are so many priests that I know, you know, childhood priests, friends of mine, who were amazing impacts in my faith, you know, and the way they guided me when I was a kid. But you know, you leave the parish when you got up and go to college, and then you know, I moved out of Brooklyn, so I'm here in Long Island, so I have no connection to them anymore, but I should still pray for them, because you know, when I pass away, I know I have my family here to pray for me. Well, we should also remember all those priests who are, you know, perhaps in purgatory, who need our prayers. I mean, they're held under a higher judgment, I guess, than us, because they have a much bigger obligation. So not only should we pray for our priests, you know, our future priests and our seminarians and our priests today, but let's pray for all those priests who are, you know, who are no longer here with us, who've guided so many, and, you know, pray that they're not forgotten, and pray that, you know, they're enjoying the rewards in heaven as well. So I love that message of Fatima. You know, we're truly praying for everyone, and let's not forget our priests, both living and deceased.
That's so true. Amen. And I just wanted to say that here at Listen Up, I always keep the listeners in prayer and the guest speakers, and not just me, but my co-host, and we just want you to know that we're praying for you, and we just hope that you're inspired and grow closer to the Lord by this show. And if you have any prayer requests, you could text me or send an email, and we'll gladly keep you in prayer. We can never get enough prayer, right? Free blessings. you know, God says it's for free, and we could receive it. So, yeah, my text and number again is 516-784-6081, or you could check out our website, listen-up.net, that has links to past shows as well as pictures and our email as well. You can remain anonymous, and yeah, so... So, Vera, as you were talking, I was just thinking that's great. Thank you so much for all that you're sharing today. I was like, oh, you'd be a great deacon. But, you know, it takes, discernment as well. And, yeah, just like being married, being a priest, it takes, asking God what he wants for you. So,
I appreciate that. I mean, I think we're all called in some way. The bishop who presided over Anthony's confirmation made a great point at the end.
Was Bishop?
Bishop Brennan.
Brennan, okay.
Yeah, he was an amazing man. He made a great point at the end. He said, you know, everyone is called regardless of what your vocation is. I mean, we all have a vocation, from our baptism and through our confirmation. Confirmation isn't graduation. And the idea is, you're now just like the apostles. You receive the Holy Spirit. It's your turn to go out and answer that call and to help others, go out and spread the good news. And, I think we each have a special way. Some of us will do a radio show. Some of us will, do talks in a church. Some of us will just, go to a youth group and do things that way.
Yeah, in our basic lives.
Yeah, we all have the beautiful ability to impact each other's lives, and it doesn't have to be grand. I think of those three little children, and that was pretty grand. They were very courageous, and the amazing things they were able to do, they were exemplary in how they answered the call. But we don't always have to be that bold and that grand. We can help just by praying for others, being there for others, listening to our friends, being caring, compassionate to our neighbors in need. When we see people who maybe need help physically, emotionally, spiritually, be there for them. And be there not so much in cheerleading as far as words go, but be there in a sense of support and care and prayer. I have plenty of people who I know and have worked with or know from church or know from even, randomly meeting people, on the subway that'll say things like, pray for me. Well, we can do that. That's so simple. And just being there for somebody, just to let them know, like, listen, I'm here in this moment, at this point. God has a reason for all of us being here. And we might not know it at that moment. We may suffer at times, but it always will work out if we have that trust and we're just not afraid to listen and to do as that call says, whatever the call says. So the message to me of Fatima is just be like Mary, keep saying yes and help as much as you can. And, the best thing you can do is pray. Just constantly do that for others. And you show up in their lives that way. And hopefully at the end of our time here on earth, God will look back and say, hey, you did pretty good, not only for what you did, but for all those that you helped and got them to listen to my call as well. So
that's a great image, being in heaven with all the people that you prayed for or helped for, that not only you're there, but other people are there as well because of you. And not in like a self kind of way, but just like, wow, I want to do good. We have 3 minutes and we're just going to wrap it up here. But I guess we'll just kind of end in a prayer.
Sure.
Just to kind of wrap things up. And so in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So God, we thank you for this day and for the Blessed Mother, that for her apparition and that she came to send us messages and to show us the way to yourself, to Jesus, and that she cares for us and is praying for us. Help us on this day I pray, we all pray especially for all the listeners, for this radio station, for all the guest speakers, that your will may be done in all of our lives, and that whatever struggles we're going through and the struggles we will go to, we'll have, that we'll remain faithful to you, and that through the intercession of Our Lady, have courage, strength, and everything that we need through your Holy Spirit to keep moving forward, to do your will, to receive your love, and to be with you one day in heaven with all of us, all of humanity. And we pray for all those who don't have anyone to pray for them, all the lonely, the vulnerable, all those who need prayers. And we just ask you to bless them and to know that you're there for them. And through their moments of despair, uncertainty, that you'll be with them to guide them, to love them, to yourself. And we just ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Severio, Anthony. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
And God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Dominus, Dominus.